You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
All right. Welcome to Section 31, episode number 166. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we are again attempting to record live. We'll see how that goes with video. We have a correction again. We have a Tui spoiler. And not much else, I don't think. Some celebrations.
Yeah. A lot of anniversaries.
Yeah. Continue Committee is 5 years. Congratulations.
5 years. And second edition is 10 years.
Yeah, so I don't seem to recall wanting to play at all second edition when it first came out.
You know, I was mostly excited because I had recently moved to Boston, and it was a long way to go to get to current 1E players, and I tried teaching a couple people locally, and it was just a lot to pick up. I had one guy who was trying to pick it up, and we played a game or two, and he was kind of starting to get into it, but then they announced second edition, so everybody was like, oh, well, why don't we just play that? That'll be easy. We can start from scratch. So I was bummed that 1E was going away, but I was excited that there would at least be people I could play Star Trek with.
I seem to recall Matt Kirk was the local tournament director, and we were running a lot of play a bit of 1E, play a bit of 2E, trying to get people to use both. And I just, it struck me as there was not a lot of different things to do at the launch, and we all kind of picked an affiliation and played it into the ground. There wasn't a lot of moving around.
Yeah, I remember not getting a lot of, playing wrong for a little while, like we did when we picked up Star Wars. Just not really having a real grasp of what was going on until we played a lot, and in fact, I think the most real exposure I got to it was Comic-Con, when I came out to visit, and we had that big tournament in which I got completely spanked, but was so excited to have gone 0-6 because it meant I got to pick foils first and got the Defiant that I wanted.
Wow, some things never change.
But the second day was that affiliation, like you were talking about. Was it like Galactic Domination or whatever the format was that you guys were running, and your Romulan partner had dropped out?
Yeah, that's so right. He couldn't make it. So we played the two player, the four player game, right? I think the format was that we each played Romulan, and we played against two opponents, and we were set up in a quad, so each player would take a turn in order around the table, all four of us, and on my turn, I could use your cards as my own, right? So all the resources were available at once?
Yeah, I think so. And each affiliation had their own sort of goals. Like, you didn't get a full win unless you won and also accomplished your affiliation goals. And the Romulans were assassination.
Yes. Did we split up? Boy, it's been so long. I think we split it up so one of us was assassinating and the other was mission solving, right?
Yeah, I think that was the at least the way the decks were built. Like, one person was playing all the assassination cards and doing that while the other person was solving. But, we could both try to accomplish both on our turn. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I can't even conceive of how we could possibly play what weird rules we were using. But I know that we will, if I can remember correctly, one of the folks was not a team player, and he was paired up with Johnny, and we will never, ever do a team tournament ever again because of how poorly that went for him. So
between that and man, Thomas and Jeff with the Cardassians just, totally abusing Garak within an inch of his life. Like, I have every skill in the game. I just remember Thomas showing me his hand at the end of the game, and it was like a rainbow of affiliations. Just all not bunch of non-Cardassian cards, just so he could pitch them for their skills.
Wow. Well, we've come a long way. I don't think I've seen Garrick played that Garrick played in forever.
Oh, I don't know if that's necessarily true. He shows up every now and then. I guess the mirror deck Garrick is a little better for that ship deck. That's been the sort of tacking. What are they called? The opportunistic crew? No.
Yeah, I know which ones you're talking about.
Yeah.
I haven't played them yet. That's one group that I haven't tried. I haven't tried them. I
Yeah.
haven't tried the Bajorans either.
I feel like they like burned really fast and bright. Like everybody was playing them earlier this year a lot. I mean that was why they did so well in that affiliation draft for regionals, and then it was just like everybody either they went out of season or like everybody started teching against it and so people stopped playing it. But was a good deck. I almost thought about playing that last time we played. Maybe it will return.
Well, okay, sounds good. We've got a few tournaments, but still, as we mentioned last time, we're not going to be doing anything until the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
The 30th of last we talked, we were planning on doing a draft in the morning for the Phoenix tournament for 1E, and then the 2E will just have a either a regular old tournament or a slipstream or something. Have we decided anything since then?
I believe it was standard constructed for 2E, and the rotisserie sealed for 1E, right? The
Yeah,
civil
all right.
order.
That means weekend before or the days before, since we're doing it on Sunday, means there's some prep work is going to have to go into putting that together. But it should be fun. I'm going to get the sign-ups up so we know how many people are coming. Since it's going to be a draft event, it'd be a good idea to know how many people are going to be here. And we'll give you a report on how that went so that you can have your own tin draft and report back to us to see how it goes.
Definitely.
We had one bit of errata from a previous show.
Errata to the show.
Yeah.
Correction of wrong playing again.
Yeah. So actually, it was a it was a deck, the Hirogen deck that you were playing. You were playing Rituals of the Hunt on a fella that you had played Mott's advice on, so that all your Hirogen would gain barbering. And apparently, that doesn't work because Rituals specifically says printed skills.
Printed skills, yes. In my defense, I learned it by watching you. So
I have no memory of that, so I don't know what you're talking
yeah.
about.
I'm going to blame the tournament director. Well, you know, it did me a whole lot of good in that tournament where I went 0-3-1. So,
Well, okay, how about this? If you were watching the show thinking that's a great idea, don't do it.
Don't do it. It is a great idea. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, we have been given a actually, I think I misspoke at the beginning of the show. I think I said this was a 2E spoiler. The spoiler that we got for 2E was that nothing is even close to being spoiled yet, so that we got a 1E spoiler instead.
Yes, and this is from the third in the TNG block of sets, correct?
Yes. This is I see the brackets Nemesis at the end of the name. Does that mean that's the property logo?
Judging from the context of the rest of the card, I would have to say so. That looks like it, yeah, because she was. She was only in Nemesis, as far as you know anything other than that show was concerned.
Right. So this is a Catherine Janeway Federation with an Enterprise E icon, apparently from Nemesis. She is classification VIP, and the, right now the lore says Admiral.
She has science, diplomacy, computer skill, physics, and special skill. While on Earth, your Federation ships are range plus one. So, a little stay-at-home mom to make sure all the little fleets, kids in the fleet, are running around at full capacity.
Make sure we can get home okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
that's
she's
a job, man.
Yeah, you know, she worked so hard at it for so long that that's all she can do now.
Wow. All right. Integrity 8, Cunning 8, Strength of 5. That sounds about similar from her previous stats.
I think really Starfleet just doesn't want her out in the field anymore.
So just stay home and coordinate things.
How about you she's stay like a, here?
She's like an astrometrics lab right at home.
Hey, yeah, free. And, you know, she plays for free at if you got the office of the president, so.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I brought out my Chewy cards. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. K-J-K. Is this like a conversion? Okay, so Catherine Janeway Rye Admiral is not backwards compatible, so
I guess
I see a lot of the same skills, but.
It's thematically similar, but it can't be a conversion if it's not, you know, backwards.
Wonder if they do a. It's kind of a faux conversion with the image on that. That'd be interesting. Let's see.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for her to be backwards compatible when the card she downloads isn't backwards compatible. That trip to Romulus.
The Admiral Janeway from All Good Things is 793. And the Janeway from Chain of Command is 876. So slightly more cunning, slightly older, I guess, with one less strength.
A little less integrity, more cunning. She's learned a few things, but it's cost her.
All right. I'm trying to think of what else we have to talk about. It's kind of rough. We don't have a tournament every other week. We don't have any reports.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that time of year. Things are slowing down. People are getting ready for the holidays. You know, we're looking forward to new sets. I remember, I guess it must have been 3 years ago now, when Allegiance came out. And I packed paper. I packed all my supplies, paper, the pens, the cutter, and backers to take with me to Maryland across country for Christmas because I wanted to be able to print the cards when they came, because I think they came out like the day before Christmas or the day like right around Christmas, and we had a Phoenix tournament right after I got back, so I basically had to make them then if I was going to have them. I don't think we're going to have the opportunity to do that, although I still haven't finished putting together my Energize cards. Energize, I did it again. Engage. I still have some engaged cards to put together, so and I'm probably going to put that even off even further since we don't have a constructed 20 tournament for Phoenix.
Yeah. I mentioned on the board, so this is what I got in the mail. You see the...
Ooh.
Yeah, so this is the Art Scow prints. As I mentioned, not all of them came out great. This is the mud. You can see on the far.
Oh yeah, that cut is not great.
Side, yeah, there's a little bit of white on the edge, and it's not centered on that side. Back looks fine. That is probably, like I said, maybe one out of every 10 cards in the 54 card set. So if I hold it like this, you can see a lot of white on the edges there. This is a stack of cards. Mm. So. Yeah. I mean, it's really awesome to Let me see if I can find the one that was my favorite.
Have virtual cards on real cards.
Yeah, because this one is printed. It's the Riseblade Marauder 2. You know, it's both sides. Yeah, it came out really nice. You can see a lot of wear already. I don't know how well you can see that. There's a lot of wear already on the bottom of the cards.
Oh.
Where it's kind of getting all scraped up. Not from anything I did, since I've just pretty much taken them out and put them in order. But as I posted on the board, I don't think it's as crisp as one can get if you do it at a professional printing place. It's probably cheaper, and since you don't actually have to do the cutting and pasting, it's probably faster. But I don't think I'll be ordering anymore. It'll be fun to have. I'll probably use them if they're convenient. I'll probably throw them in my binders and put, the slip behind all the slips. But I just think that a nicely printed version just looks better.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we actually got that question a couple of times of how do you put your cards together to make them look so nice? And I've been sitting in the back. I've actually put off putting my my Engage cards together for so long so that we could video doing that for an episode, and you can share all your secrets with the universe. But we just haven't been in the same place to take that video. Maybe we should try it like this. I don't know if you can. Maybe I can put it down on my keyboard and work right here. To do it something like that. But, maybe we'll have to explore that.
Yeah, we could do a tutorial in a future episode here. we're still having work done inside the house, so I'm out in the warehouse here, and I'm going to complain that it's cold. No one's going to agree with me because this is San Diego, but it is less than 60 degrees. So I've got a jacket on, so look out.
Yeah. I've been forbidden from complaining about the weather by my. I do most of my work online through teleconferencing, even though I work in the office locally. But my team is in San Diego, or me in San Diego, and in St. Louis, and in Philadelphia. And they have no cold weather sympathy.
I'm looking at the chat room, and Phila Technova says that he's been going to Office Max and having them printed on sticker paper. That sounds like an awesome idea, and I would wonder how thin the sheets of sticker paper are, because one of the Santa Maria paper that we use for prints is pretty thin stuff. If that sticker paper is nice and thin, and it's as glossy, that could save an awful lot of time and an awful lot of little double-sided tape dispensers.
Yeah, that paper is so nice because it's really good quality, nice and you get that nice shine for the card. On a good quality print, but it is thin enough that you don't really notice it on the paper. I don't know. I feel like sticker paper would be thicker, or it would either suffer in quality or in thickness. But if you can tell us like the exact brand you get, we can check that out. I would love to cut out a step.
Certainly. I mean, it's. As we talk about those, we cut it up, we mark the edges, we double-sided tape, and then we stick it on. To be able to take out, just the cost of a double-sided tape to get that out, that would be awesome too.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
All right.
I know something new that happened this week.
Last.
Did you used to use that that trade site, right, that no one can pronounce?
Mahasamatman?
That's the one. I got in touch with him last week. I never really thought about it before, A, because I wasn't sure how long it was going to be around, and B, because I wasn't sure how he would feel about posting, not published, sold cards on that site. But since it's been around long enough, and I really hate trying to trade anymore because it's so hard to... You have to dig through lists, like, do I need this and you need that? And almost all I need anymore are virtual foils. I never trade for anything else. So I put together the list and sent it to him, and he was like, yeah, sure, and put it up. And so now all of the virtual promo foils for 1E, 2A, and Tribbles are on that site.
Neat.
So you can go in and put in the minus one, plus one, whatever you have, and hit the cross match button, which was always my favorite part of that site, and try to make some trades.
Boy, it's been a while since I had my list posted up there. I think the last time I wanted to trade something, I was looking for a Battlestar Galactica card, but yeah, that's pretty good, especially for folks trying to finish out their foil collection for promos. I know like Matt Kirk was doing some trading, and I know Johnny trades a lot, so awesome.
Yeah, I just thought that would be, you know, I keep checking that back now that I finally got mine up there to see if anybody's had a chance to post theirs up there, but I know people are busy with the holidays. But hopefully that'll make things a little bit easier, especially with the way, you know, the promos are going to start. Winding down is not the right word. Scaling back, I guess. So it's not going to be like, okay, well, I'll make sure I play in 9 tournaments in the next 6 months and get, you know, 9 different foils. You know, you want to be able to trade for the ones you need, and, you know, if you don't get the ones, all the ones that you want.
Yeah, well, everyone's going to be home for the holidays, so, you know, sit down with your collections, update your trade lists, and post on Mahasamatman.
Yeah.
Can you export your trade lists from there to post to the boards, or will you just post a link on the boards to Mahasamatman?
You could post a link. You could copy, and I mean, it generates a pretty decent text website that you could copy and paste into a post if you really wanted to post your entire list, but I think the link is pretty easy.
If anyone's wondering, it's actually spelled trade, TRADE dot Mahasamatman, MAHASAMATMAN. MAN.com, Mahasamatman.com. If you just do a search for that, he's got a list of pretty much every game you can think of.
I posted a link in the trade forums too.
Nice. And you can post your haves and wants. It'll do. You can cross post trades. So if you have a bunch of Star Wars cards, you're looking for Lord of the Rings cards. If you have, what else is on here? Spellfire, Terminator, Doctor Who, Young Jedi, Imagination, Highlander, Dune, Call of Cthulhu, all these games, you can go back and forth and trade across and hit the button, and it will suggest trades for you. People who have what you want, and people will want what you have. So I've used it a lot. It's made a lot of it really easy. I'm posting quite a while. I see your name a few times up on here. Your name is on the Battlestar Galactica list?
Yeah, I started the BSG list, and I helped generate a couple others.
All right. Well,
maintain them.
I think if I have some free time this break, I might repost my list as well.
It's a really cool site that the cross match feature that you were talking about, where it looks at all the cards you want and all the cards you need from all the different games, and then just sends you, okay, you know, Johnny has you know, these 3 Battlestar cards and this Star Trek card that you want, and he wants these 5 Star Wars cards that you have. You know, it's really cool. It takes a lot of the legwork out if you're just willing to, you know, all you got to do is put your cards in. That's the upfront time investment, and then enjoy it later.
Used to have a thing that was the most wanted. I think that it looks like it went away. Oh, you know what? I bet you can only do that if you have a certain number of people who have posted lists. So everybody post so I can see what the most wanted cards are. That's always fun to look at.
Good stuff.
All right.
So, yeah, I think that's it for now. Probably take next week off, I'm assuming. With the holidays, it'll be Christmas Eve. But
I will be traveling, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then the week after that will be New Year's Eve, which will be the day after. I don't know if I want to record on New Year's Eve. Maybe we can record on New Year's Day.
Yeah, we can do that.
Well, we'll schedule. We'll make sure and post something now that apparently people are watching live as we do it, so that you can know when we'll be streaming this. Otherwise, we'll record it as always and post the video on YouTube and the audio on our usual stream. So, on the chance that we don't talk to you until then, happy holidays, happy New Year,
Yes. Happy Life Day.
happy Life Day, happy anniversary, 5th anniversary for the Continuing Committee. Man, I'm kind of torn. I can't believe that it's been 10 years of TUI and 5 years of virtual cards, but at the same time, I can't believe that it was only 5 years that TUI was in print.
Yeah, to think that the Continuing Committee has been making second edition for as long as Decipher did. That's a lot of.
Possibly longer if you take out that near year of no new cards.
The dark times before Strange New Worlds or after
Yes,
Strange New Worlds, yeah.
but yeah, that's a testament to our committee and to our community. So, thank you all for continuing to play so that we have something to talk about.
Yes, good stuff.
And with that, we're out of intelligence. So we'll give a shout out to everybody who's watching at home: Trek Nova, Iron Mike, Joel Bray, Time for a Change, and AFK Sir Dan, and of course Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song. I am Sir Rogue,
And I'm Sir Dan.
and I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I'll draw to end.
They are always watching you, but you cannot detect Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.
All right. Don't forget to stop recording.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be really long.